And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Sheep. Is there a more common analogy used in Scripture? These woolly bullies of the pasture, though, I think have gotten a bad rap in our churches. Because in common parlance, in our day-to-day conversations, you'll hear people refer to sheep as what? Dumb, simple beasts. You'll often hear social critics refer to people blindly following a leader as sheep, or my personal favorite, sheeple, a phrase often heard on the lips of conspiracy theorists. An impressive number of sermons have cast sheep as mindless wanderers, as helpless creatures, as though sheep didn't exist somehow before shepherds. Yet even the biblical images of sheep contradict this notion. Now you might want to quote Matthew 9, and if you were going to say, but Pastor, what about Matthew 9? Then there's your gold star for the day. Because that's where Jesus implies sheep without a shepherd are both troubled and helpless. But that doesn't say that they're stupid. It means that they're better off in relationship with a shepherd, a skilled leader who cares for their well-being. It means their success depends on the presence of good leadership. We could say the very same thing of humanity, right? Our flourishing depends not just on our own skills, but on the presence and practice of leaders that help us become more fully alive, more fully ourselves. That's true of a town, a state, a country, a church, a family. Now, of course, there's different models of leadership, so I'm not saying one particular leader needs to be that kind of leader, but instead that benefiting from good leadership isn't dumb. It's the natural state of healthy relationships. And relationship is the key to understanding this dynamic between a sheep and a shepherd. Shepherds spend days on end with the sheep, leading flocks to green pasture after green pasture so that they might eat their fill, finding more and more still waters so that they might quench their thirst. It's a constant journey from food to water to back again. Sheep come to know their shepherd not as a separate entity even, but as the leader who leads from the center of the flock. The voice of the shepherd becomes trusted. This tone becomes familiar because what's the first thing a sheep hears after the bleat of its mother at birth? The shepherd, who also acts as a midwife, guiding the new lambs into being. It's then that voice that beckons toward new food sources or away from the wolves that are around the next turn. For this relationship to develop, for these sheep to not just know but trust the shepherd's voice, they spend significant time together. Curious if any of you have ever seen a sheep shearing. Anyone ever watched someone shear sheep? This is an interesting process, especially without the modern the modern accoutrements of cages and electric shears. This is kind of a thing that's common when you grow up in rural Ohio. Like, let's go to the county fair and see a sheep shearing. That's things that I once said. You also find it in Ireland when I was there. But the most impressive thing about these events is that when a shepherd does the shearing, there's almost a communication. There's a mutuality between the sheep and the shepherd. The shepherd obviously needs the wool, but the sheep also needs to shed it. Sheep that are unsheared are in danger, not just of getting caught in thickets because they have this burdensome coat on, but of illness because they're carrying such a weighty burden. That you'll find that if sheep are left unsheared, they carry hundreds of pounds of wool. So imagine carrying like twice or three times of you around every day. It's a burden. But there's this interplay as it happens. Sheep will turn as they're getting sheared, open up the areas that need done. You can find this on YouTube, videos of sheep rolling around in the pasture, opening the sides that have yet to be sheared for that next step. They're communicating with the shepherd. They're showing them what is not yet done, what still needs accomplished. And if the sheep becomes anxious, The shepherd will offer reassurance with a steady hand, with a calming coo from that ever-present voice. In these moments, it's not just the time in presence with one another, but it's the communication with one another. So for us then, how often do we spend an intentional time communicating with God? Of course, you've had me as your pastor long enough. You know that I'm going to argue that God is present everywhere, right? That God is with us at all times and places, even when we don't recognize God's active in our midst. So we're always with God. But I'm talking about how often you're aware of God's presence, how often that you're intentionally looking for God in the world, how often you're speaking and listening for God's voice. How often do we take the time to turn our ears away, our eyes away, all our senses away from the data that's constantly being thrown at us in commercials and in billboards and in the temperatures outside or inside, depending on if we got the heat on the right temperature this morning? There's always something trying to pull us away from focusing on God. Now, numbers on prayer frequency can be confusing. The Pew Research poll, most recently done, suggests that over half of you pray every single day. I'll admit, that's higher than I thought it would be. So well done. Even more, that 84% have prayed in the last week. 84% of Americans have prayed in the last week. Well done. But if we look at the church, do we really know what God's voice sounds like? Are we really familiar with that? If we're supposed to be the sheep of Jesus' flock, why do we constantly seem to wander away from his call to justice for the oppressed, or gifts to the poor, compassion for the outcast, for healing for the sick? Why, rather than confidently roaming as sheep of our good shepherd, do we fight with one another full of anxiety? Consider this. Even of all these people that pray, the average amount of time spent in prayer a day is a minute. 1 minute. The average amount of time we spend focusing on developing our relationship with Shepherd is 1 out of 1,440 minutes of every day. How many other voices are coming at us in those 1,399 minutes? There's a fabled story of Luther's prayer life that he would spend the first hour of every day in prayer. But if he knew the next day's calendar was heavy, if he had a lot of responsibilities, he'd quit, right? No, he would wake up early enough to spend 3 hours of prayer before he would start the day. That might sound impossible when compared with our busy schedules to spend 180 minutes in prayer. But think again of the sheep. They know the shepherd's voice because they've spent the majority of their lives listening to the shepherd, hearing and feeling the presence. Now, of course, we know that sheep aren't constantly talking to the shepherd. And if you think sheep are constantly talking to you, I would like to talk to you about that after worship. That's not the point, right? Obviously, they're not talking, but there's this interpersonal time, there's this communication, this mutual relationship where they spend significant time in feeding and cleaning and shearing, that they come to intimately know the shepherd's voice. That way, when they begin to wander from the flock, following that green grass to green grass, and all of a sudden they realize, where's everybody else? Or they find themselves wandering around a bend where there's a cliff or a thief, that one clarion call from the shepherd's voice reorients everything in them back to the center. That's more like Luther's model, who knew the demands of life in God's kingdom required investment in prayer. So we need to invest ourselves more deeply in prayer. So would it be helpful if I stopped here and told you, therefore, go and pray 3 hours, amen? I don't think so. I think we begin this the same way that you might say you eat an elephant, one bite at a time. I don't expect you to go from a few seconds of prayer before a meal to more than an hour of deep reflection every day. That's not fair. It's not helpful. But what we each need to find is a way to kickstart our prayer lives that stretches us beyond our current habits in achievable ways that help us to grow our prayer life. And since we're talking about listening to God's voice, the sheep that know God's voice, it's important to focus first on God's identity, about knowing who God is, before we focus on our needs and hopes. That's the next part in the series, and we'll get there next week. So I would like together today, this morning, to explore a short meditation. It's deep, it's prayerful reflection on who God is. I'm going to talk a bit about what this means, and then we'll try it together. To meditate, you need just a few things: peace, time, mantra, and movement. Now, peace in this case means shutting out all those distractions we talked about that so often vie for our attention, that list that's at work that I can't forget to do those 12 things before I get home tonight, or, oh, you know, those commercials, or, gosh, I'm so hungry, what do I want to eat, or, you know, all of that stuff, which is why people close their eyes or choose something like an icon to focus their attention, or stained glass, or even a singular word. In our present day, I think it also means putting your phone on Do Not Disturb and choosing wisely when to meditate, maybe before you take a look at that list of chores to do in the morning. Time means that we can't appropriately meditate in a minute. You might be able to find a moment of peace, and that's good, but meditation is a longer relationship-building kind of practice. So you need to devote that kind of time that a sheep spends with the shepherd in the process of meditation. Just like any relationship, the more that we invest, the more that we can discover about the one that we're with. Now, an hour is a long time to try, especially for our screen time attention spans. So I'd suggest starting with a few minutes, 3 or 5, and increasing by 30 seconds as you feel comfortable. A mantra is a focus statement of belief or desire that guides meditation. People will hear the word mantra and then feel like, oh gosh, that's not a Christian word. It's okay. It's just a word in another language that means belief or focus statement. The idea is, as Christians, we can draw this practice from our scriptures or creeds. Our readings this week provide us a number of mantras that are good, such as, God is my shepherd. Jesus offers life to the fullest. By your wounds we are healed. These are things that we believe that we know are true. So in meditation, rather than talking through all the 78 things that are going on in your mind, you try to focus on one and let that shape your mind. Now, repeating the same thought over and over again might sound tedious, so that's where the last part of meditation comes in, movement. Now, using movement looks like many things. It begins simply by taking a deep breath. We're such shallow breathers in our culture. One deep breath can make us see the world differently. It also means involving things like prayer beads that I wear on my wrist that we find in many faith traditions that we might find most recognizable in things like Catholic rosaries that provide simple movement of fingers along each time. God is my shepherd. God is my shepherd. God is my shepherd. That this sense of movement helps us to mark the time. Others just choose to use their body. Again, if you use that same God is my shepherd, you can just use your fingers. God is my shepherd. You can tap your foot. If a drummer like me, I'm always tapping my foot anyway, so I try to put it to good purpose, right? Yoga itself is a form of meditation that utilizes your full body, from breath to stretching to full movement, which is why Mims, our yoga teacher, begins and ends with a mantra to try to help us center ourselves. But let's be clear about what the goal of this is. To come to a deeper awareness of God, an engagement with the divine that helps us to understand and hear God's voice more clearly. It deepens our relationship. Remember that God, as our good shepherd, wants to be with us. Often we can cast this, oh, well, a shepherd needs to be with a sheep. God doesn't need to be with us, but God chooses to be with us out of deep and abiding love. The shepherd could live without things like wool and milk, but the sheep offers them and enriches the life of the shepherd. In the same way, we bring joy to God For as God's creations and God's images, God desires to be with us, to share with us that fullness of abundant life. And that begins with this voice that calls us into God's kingdom. God has chosen to be our shepherd, and that's something vital to remember as we enter this practice. So let's give this a try together. We'll just do 2 minutes, twice as long as the average American prayer, but it's not very long. And we're going to use that mantra, God is my shepherd. I'll invite you to focus on the icon, maybe a word or the stained glass, the light of the candle is sometimes a very meaningful center. And we'll find time to focus, after praying this mantra, on some silence. I'll give a few guiding questions, and then I'll lead us out with the mantra again. Don't become discouraged if your mind wanders. I'm a very distractible human being, so this is part of our condition. Just acknowledge it. Say, oh yes, there goes that squirrel. God is my shepherd. And allow your minds to follow anything that relates to God, to our faith, to what it means to be a sheep of God's pasture, or that God is our shepherd. So first, I invite you to find a focus or close your eyes. Second, put both feet firmly on the floor. I'm going to do this too. Then hold out one or both hands so you can move your fingers with our mantra. And then we'll say together 10 times, God is my shepherd. 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 Last time, God is my shepherd. In this time of silence, ask yourself a question like, where is the shepherd leading you? Or perhaps, what needs shorn from your life to lighten your load? Where are the green pastures? And if you can't find them, where is God's voice coming from? We say together again, God is my shepherd. 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 Last time, God is my shepherd. Amen.